Hello and welcome everyone to another movie podcast. Just right, just another movie podcast. I'm Oscar, and with me as always is
Luke.
Ralph. As he says, as always, you're not there. As always,
Rob caught that. Rob caught the subtlety, the detail.
See that? The difference?
Blow me.
This is
a formula. You did fuck it up, Oscar. I'm just letting you know, but it's okay. But I did catch it, so you did fuck up too, Luke. So you're like, it is what it is.
I didn't fuck up. So you should.
No, I know you didn't.
This is episode 108. And unfortunately, Luke picked the movies this time, so we're going to be doing Prime Video double feature here. And it's going to start with a movie called 7500 or 7500, which stands for feet, I found out recently when I saw it. And then we're going to be doing another Prime Video original called Radioactive, not about radios, all available on Prime to watch right now. And then we're going to conclude our show with a review of an oldie but a goodie, or at least acclaimed anyway. What's his name?
Jack
Nicholson. Thank you.
Jack
Nicholson's Flamel, yes. Movie Five Easy Pieces from the 70s. I forgot the actual year. But it's going to be part of our Jack Nicholson marathon. And we're doing chronological on his works, or at least on a certain number of his works. Definitely not even half or a quarter, but around there. And we're going to start off with Five Easy Pieces. So check that out. Now, you can always find this show at otherpodcast.com. And over there, you can find all of our previous marathons. We've tried our hand at a Steven Spielberg once. Didn't complete it, but it's still on there. We've done bonus episodes. We've done top 10 shows and whatnot. So check it out there at otherpodcast.com. Likewise, you can send feedback at podmoviecast@gmail.com. All this shit's available on you under the show notes for your show, wherever you're listening to us on. Before we get on to our recent discoveries, Ralph, how have you been over the last 2 weeks since we last checked in here?
New work schedule. Not really, days are different. I start 15 minutes later. Fantastic. I'm never late.
Does it make that much of a difference?
Yeah, you in the morning it does. Yeah, what the fuck? I wake up. I start at 4:15 instead of 4 o'clock, so I wake up the same time as the normal. But I don't rush for work anymore. So you know what I'm saying? Before I used to be like, motherfucker, like I gotta do teeth and hair, and
I wanted to drive you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just a pain in the dick, and now it's like, okay, I gotta do this. Okay, I can lollygag over here. Okay.
No, I mean, I get it. 15 minutes.
Right. 15 Hold minutes, on. Right. If I rush these next 3 minutes, I can make it to Dunkin' Donuts and get coffee.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, so it's fantastic. Other than that, it's boring as fuck because there's very little work to do. And I'm more of a, like, keep me busy kind of guy. Or give me good company and I can at least spend the time talking to good company.
Right. Right. I get that.
There's a lack of that because everybody's new. Yay. But slowly but surely, I am getting all these, I'm getting all these, gamers, gamer tags, so I can play games with them.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, other than that, I've been playing video games. Yay.
Yeah. Yep.
Dreaming of another stimulus.
Yeah, well, I guess we all are a little bit. That's why your recent discoveries are always shorter, because you play a lot of video games.
Facts. That and I watch a lot of people stream games also.
Yeah, which is like esports, right?
Yeah, there's like no sport. Well, now that sports is back, I'm totally watching sports. Well, not as much. I haven't really got into it because I want to watch the Cubs, but the Cubs have their own marquee network. And it's just, you know, it's an annoying thing. I listen to some of it, but it's just annoying. Anyways.
Okay. Luke, how you been?
Hey, good. I just ended my 2-week self-quarantine today. I went back to work.
Yeah,
it was fun to sit at home for 2 weeks.
So, well, then great. Well, what did you do sitting at home for 2 weeks?
A whole lot of nothing. Played a lot of Call of Duty, kind of. Actually, no, played more Destiny 2. Got back into that.
Oh, I didn't know I was still around.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Every year they put in like a more expand the story, put in like a new place to visit, a new raid, that kind of thing.
It's a game that never ends.
pretty much it's like Destiny 2 is the platform, and then they're just going to build on for a couple years on just that game itself.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like in November, there's going to be another expansion coming out, and they're going to get rid of some of the things from the first expansions, just so they could kind of like condense it, because it's becoming very bloated.
Yeah, I mean, because that game's been out for a few years already.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. I think Ralph got that for me one time, so I can play with him. Is that right, Ralph? He's gone.
Yeah, no, I totally did. I was totally gone. Sorry, I got hit in the head by somebody. Anyways,
it came out in 2017.
The Power of Mute. I did get it for you, the original base game. And now there's like 300 add-ons.
Right, no, I bet. Anyway, all right, sounds good, Luke. So no backlog, huh?
What do you mean?
You complained so much about it that...
Oh, it's still there. It's still...
I mean, you didn't focus on... You had, you know, no, nothing.
Destiny's just that amazing game you can just go right back into and just start playing again. And you feel like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I can, like... I feel OP as fuck. I'm just gonna... Just gonna fucking plow through these guys.
Yeah, I'll agree with him to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's one of those movies. One of the games where it's just easy and fun to play. It's done right. It's a good shooter, and you do feel OP when you do shit, so you don't feel like you're left out. Except when you're doing stuff that you, especially when I was doing stuff, and I'm like, oh, this isn't my level. I'm gonna just get wrecked because they saw me.
Okay. It is better with friends, though, to play.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's partly why I never play those kind of games. I always have weird hours compared to most people, things like that. Although I know a lot of people get, you know, they become friends online and stuff. This just never really happens with me. But that's all on me, trust me. Anyway, all right, moving on. I mean, with me, as far as I got back into Nier Automata and I finished the game, finally. Oh, I didn't know it was so close when I stopped it months ago, but I went back in, and it's a fun game. I kind of talked about it recently to Rob, I think. Anyway, off air. But otherwise, you know, I am literally, this is my first recording where I'm doing it in my office, you know, officially. I have a fan in my background here, and then hopefully it's not too loud. I put it at the other end. And I have a new desk that you two helped me build. Thank you again. And have a setup here. I got the Echo that Luke got me. It's great. What?
Is it safe?
It's safe. I mean, I have my feet on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything's safe. Everything comes out really nicely. I got a new wastebasket. It's looking nice. It's getting there. Obviously, it's not a perfect...
Send pics.
Still a bunch of boxes everywhere. But yeah, everything is good.
All right.
Cool. Yeah. I'm having fun with this room right now. So yeah. That's what's really been going on with me. Adulting sucks. It feels like I have to pay for something new every day. Otherwise, pretty solid with work and everything. So, let's get on with our recent discoveries. And we're going to start off with Luke, as always, on this front. What have you been watching? You've been on to some stuff lately. So.
Yeah, kind of. So, last time I talked about how I saw Rambo 1 and 2. And I was going to watch Rambo 3.
Did you?
I didn't, but I watched Halloween 3 for the first time.
I just watched all the threes of different movies.
I've never seen this one, and I know this is the one that people didn't care for because it did not have Michael Myers in it.
Just a shit ton of masks.
Yeah, pretty much. But I believe how it went is like Halloween was supposed to be a series of, you know, movies based on Halloween or the, you know, day, and like the first one was going to be Mike Myers. The second one was supposed to be Season of the Witch, but because of how good Halloween 1 did, they rushed to do a sequel with Michael Myers again, and therefore, when Halloween 3 came out, people expected Michael Myers, and they got disappointed.
Yeah, and then we've been disappointed ever since, because of all the sequels.
Really. Wow, familiar, really. So many.
I mean, overall, I think the
no, right, I know. I'm just fucking
right. I mean, some of them are okay. I grew up with H2O. What do you mean?
Busta Rhymes was great.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So great. That was such a good idea for a movie. Oh, my God.
Fantastic. I mean, honestly, that was a little bit ahead of its time, the whole, like, live thing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It was before Cabin in the Woods, right?
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, I get it, but fucking fucked it up. Fucked it. Anyway, besides that, yeah, I like
H2O. I didn't mind it. I liked it. It did have a, you know, while the first two were, you know, kind of slashery. This one had more of a witchcraft and like science fiction type of vibes to it, which is kind of cool.
Make you afraid of your television screen?
Yeah. I did notice I was introduced to Mr. Tom Atkins, who played the lead character. And I guess he's been in a plethora of movies, of mainly like, you know, horror movies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Realized how much of a badass Mr. Tom Atkins is.
I can't picture the head right now, the person in my head right now, but I believe you. You know, can you imagine how much different history? I mean, do you think the history would be as kind to the Halloween franchise or whatever if they started with Season of the Witch?
Oh, I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
But
food for thought.
My friend works at a bunch of horror conventions.
Why?
And next to his, sometimes his booth is next to Tom Atkins, where he does his signing. And he said every time Tom Atkins would walk past him, they would just be like, "You are a god."
Oh, damn!
Yeah,
that's
fine. You are the man. You know, they love Tom Atkins.
Well, okay. Sort of.
So, all right. Aside from that, I saw this one movie that I kept seeing commercials for on Amazon because I've been watching Prime Video a lot.
Don't say.
Yeah, I know. It's Britney Runs a Marathon, which the trailer made it seem like, oh, it's going to be a comedy, right?
Like dark comedy, at least, though?
No, not even. Barely. It's barely comedy, I think.
Like a dramedy, right?
It's more drama with a very small Y. Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about this girl who's kind of like, I don't know, like in her mid-20s and, you know, typical, she's out partying, doesn't have a relationship, got a shit job, kind of overweight, and she tries to, like...
You have a shit job.
Blow me. And she tries to change up things, so she starts running, and first she starts, like, you know, like a block or two, and then eventually joins, like, a running club, and then she aspires to run a marathon with her two friends that she made.
So can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
So the same commercial, totally thought it was a comedy as well.
Don't be fooled.
They kind of didn't see it. Just thank
yeah.
you.
And, trailers do that. They deceive you. They try to get butts in the seats, right?
Right. That's exactly why I don't watch trailers.
Yeah. I saw this trailer a lot of times in theaters last year. And,
did you?
Yes, many times. Especially indie movies.
I never saw a trailer before this.
The whole premise is like an Amy Schumer movie that was never made.
Right. Well, apparently it's based on a true story. There's a real Britney out there.
Well, you mean... Anyone who's ever decided to run a marathon want to get better for yourself at exercise.
I also low key thought this was about Britney Spears.
I think they misspelled Bridget, though. I don't think that's how you spell it. Or maybe she spells it the same.
Where'd you go, Bridget?
Yeah, in the title, Britney. Sorry.
Britney.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is he talking
I
about?
I meant to say Britney. Fuck me. Whatever. Anyway, whatever.
But overall, it's a all right watch. I don't know. If I had to put it somewhere, it probably could be like a 3 out of 5. I'll watch it again. But
yeah. You'll watch it again?
I wouldn't mind watching it again if there's like nothing on.
No such thing as nothing on anymore.
Like if I come over your house and you're watching this movie, I'm going to sit down and I'll watch it with you. That kind of thing, you know?
Okay. So when you come over.
If it was like two out of five stars, I'd be like, yeah, no. It was 1 out of 5 stars. I would unplug the TV.
I put this on. If it was 2 stars, you just walk out.
I would probably be on my phone.
I don't know why I'm asking you these questions. Anyway, what else have you seen?
And the last one is a anime movie that is on Netflix. It is called A Whisker Away.
I get it.
Huh?
I get it.
Okay. Apparently, the Japanese translation for this movie is, or anime is, Wanting to Cry, I Pretend to Be a Cat. I think Whisker Away is a much shorter, easier thing.
Yeah, more palatable. Yeah.
It is about a girl who has a crush on a fellow classmate, and the only way she can really interact with him is she has this magical mask that transforms her into a cat. And when she goes into this cat form, she goes to his house and, like, spends time with him. And then eventually, as she transforms to this cat, you know, for longer and longer, she kind of gets stuck in it. And then he finds out about it and has to kind of rescue her from this, like, other dimension of, like, cats and stuff. so she can come back and be a real human. And, yeah.
Cool.
Okay. It's actually getting, I know I do a bad job of something, but it's actually getting like really positive reviews.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to watch it. Actually, I was going to pick it for one of my things, but you know, I'm an asshole.
Yeah. I do recommend it. I do like some of the animation. Got a little Shinkai maybe in some of like vibes to it.
Is everything animated through the lens of Shinkai for you?
It goddamn needs to be.
Okay.
The man is a fucking treasure, Japan. You treasure him.
I think you've deconvinced me to watch this movie.
No, I like that it seems like the places and things like that, like they feel real. Like it's probably the same thing, like he finds places that he likes and uses them in his, you know, movies type of thing, you know?
Right.
Like, I feel that some of these places do exist. Minus the imaginary cat world or whatever, but obviously, I don't know what kind of acid trip you're on.
The acid kind. All right, then. That's A Whisker Away. Mm-hmm. I do like that title, though, for, I guess, the premise you delivered there. All right, so that's what Luke's been watching. Raf, you saw two things. My God, yay, two. Dude. This is double your, actually, it's quadruple your usual.
Double the pleasure. Double the fuck. Anyways, so yeah, I saw this one movie that has the title movie in it. It's Steven Universe the movie, because it's a show and they made a movie of it. Anyways,
yeah, it's like Teen Titans, right?
The movie, yeah, exactly. Or that's Teen Titans. Go watch their movies. Go to the movies. I forget. Anyways, very pun on words. This one is about Steven Universe, and it's in the future, 2 years after the show takes place, and he's a little older, and there's an issue that arises, and he's got to fix it. Of course, what else is new? Very typical, very similar to the show. I'm going to go with, it's not as, compared to the show, obviously, and usually the case for the movie, it's not as good. It's cool to see him in the future. It's cool to see stuff like that, but like, I feel like he hasn't learned, or the movie makes him relearn what he had to learn throughout the show. And I was like, in a condensed version, like super condensed, you know? And I was just like, almost like a fan service kind of thing, which usually the case is for these type of movies. But from my understanding is, this is a movie that's made to gap. They made another show after this. It's the future. It's literally called Steven Universe Future. And I guess it's all from this point on, from 2 years after the original show and on. So I guess that's the gap for what it's taking place. But if you know anything about Steven Universe, it's a Cartoon Network show. It's actually quite fun. The first season is really long. It's like 50 episodes, I think. But it's only because they're like 15-minute shorts. They're like 15-minute episodes. So if you want to count on half of it. And they're cool. At first, it's just kind of like randomness. And then there's an actual plot that they actually get to. And then the rest of the seasons are like 20 episode seasons or 23 episode seasons and just like kind of run through it. But they're still all 15 minutes long. It's overall, it's a cool show. I watched it with my son. My son loved it. And the movie was meh. Okay. It's just a cool, nice little add-on. I felt like if I didn't watch the show altogether and then I got this later, I'd probably feel better. But since I did, and it's already been after the fact, it's just meh.
What if you never watched the show and just watched this movie?
You'd be confused.
Just,
okay.
And it'd, no, be, so just, it's, and it'd like, be just meh. Awesome.
So it's like you Veronica were, Mars for me when were, I first saw the movie. The
connection. Yeah, that's essentially the gist of it. Yeah, it's 100%.
Well, a Deadwood movie, maybe. Yeah, so I never heard of the show before a few years ago. I never one iota of it. And then I saw like almost like a marathon of this show, and I was enjoying it. Actually, I found myself enjoying it.
Yeah, it's a cool show. But it's on HBO Max.
I was at this random person's house, and I was just high. We were all high and just watching the show. I know
it's weird because it's like, it actually talks about, you know, like they do a lot of the shows. It talks about more adult things and what to do and stuff like that. So
a lot of spiritualism and the crystals and stuff.
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, cool.
All right, so that's that movie. Well, you have another one that we both have, actually.
Correct. Yeah, the other one is Andy Samberg's latest movie, and that's Palm Springs. It's Max Barbaca and Andy Ciara is the writer. What's it called? This is, I'll read the quick description. When Carefree Niles and reluctant Maid of Honor Sarah have a chance to encounter at Palm Springs' wedding, things get complicated as they are unable to escape the venue, themselves, or each other. Essentially, I guess, do we want to ruin... It's not really ruining it, right? With
the premise? No.
Making the comparison to Groundhog Day?
Oh, no. Yeah, because I want to see this movie, but I know about that.
So, yeah, okay, perfect. So, I knew nothing about this movie. I just saw my friend watching it, and I remember that Andy Samberg had a new movie coming out, and I was like, totally love Andy Samberg.
And his last one's awesome.
Yeah.
What was his last one?
Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Has it been that long?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyways, and he was like, it's great, you should watch it, and I was like, thanks. Anyways, the movie was kind of cool, actually. Really fun. It's got his own twist also. Obviously, it's kind of hard because Groundhog Day did a really fantastic job with that movie. But I think sort of like some of the Imitators, Death to You or what? Happy Death Day? Is that the one, right?
Happy Death Day. Happy Death Day show with Natasha Lyonne.
I didn't see that one.
No? What's it called? Russian Doll.
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
Russian Doll. Very good.
But I know this one, the Happy Death Day was done well also. And I just feel like it's a cool premise to use, and at the same time, just how everything works out, how I guess this little box of energy, whatever the hell that is, anyways, that they're in is really, really interesting, this time loop. I kind of don't want to spoil a lot of stuff.
Don't
worry, I won't, but it's a lot more tamer than I expected from Andy Samberg, even though it's kind of still out there. Is just from the work that he's done, from the ridiculousness level, like Pop Star, for example. I was expecting something also, I guess, more comedicness, but it was not that it wasn't funny or anything. It was. It's just more. There's more of a actual like.
It can make sense
story. It does make more sense. Yeah, it's like for anybody. Pop Star is really weird. Like, I don't think I'd recommend it to everybody, but this one I would recommend to anybody.
Pop Star is like the airplane of the 100% decade. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like that. It's ridiculous,
right?
But
right.
But this one is more like the Groundhog Day of the decade, where like it makes sense, and even though it's still funny, I also really like the movie, Ralph, like you. And Palm Springs, as I saw it with Lexi on a whim, and I'm like, oh yeah, Palm Springs. I heard something about that in the in the grapevine of other podcasts and stuff. I'm like, well, just put that on. I also did not know what to expect. And then, but I immediately got it though. I immediately got it. Like, I was like, oh shit. You know, I was like that. Like, oh, this is a Groundhog Day thing. And like, oh, okay, great. Yeah. And even though they go through some generally tropey stuff, they managed to keep a lot of things fresh with how they have fun with the concept, how they introduce like the twists, the differences between this one and say Groundhog Day and Russian Doll and stuff like that, because right. There are differences. And it also adds some stuff that a couple characters do that, you know, people who have thought of this concept in their own lives maybe would think of doing. And obviously I'm being vague on it on purpose. But it involves quantum stuff. And it's really fun. Fun movie. I recommend it for everyone. Yeah, Palm Springs. And that's on Hulu if anyone wants to see it. And now that we're on to me, and I've already said Palm Springs, I have another movie. This is actually kind of a... This is part of a show, but it's a short movie, you know. And you guys have seen this show a long, long time ago at Sean's house. It's from the Masters of Horror series. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck that one.
Which one?
The one with the babies.
Yeah, yeah,
That's the one that stood out.
No, yeah, that really stands out, doesn't it?
I don't actually remember anything you're talking about.
Imprint. He's talking about Imprint, which I bought on iTunes, by the way, if you guys want to see it.
No, thank you.
No, I mean, it's a good horror movie. That's a Takashi Miike classic. And if it was my first time, I would definitely be talking about that movie, but it's not. But I saw John Carpenter's short movie from that series. I forget season one or two, but either way, they're all 50-minute short movies, basically. And this movie stars that dude from The Walking Dead. What's his name? Daryl? Everyone knows his name. Sorry, I couldn't pull out an IMDb. I couldn't find it. Anyway, it stars
Norman Reedus.
Thank you. It's driving me nuts. Anyway, it stars Norman Reedus in a role that really doesn't belong to. Like, it's the movie It almost feels like 90s a little bit. I know it was made like early 2000s, but it feels kind of 90s. And but it's a good Carpenter movie, though. You know, surprisingly good. It, I saw it because of our part of the other show I'm doing. I did a show recently on the SOS show about movies that kill. And so we were researching other movies that do the same. And this movie is like that. This movie is about this guy named Norman Reedus who plays like this rare film knowledge guy who goes out and finds rare movies for people who hire him. And he gets hired to find the movie that supposedly kills people who watch it. And it's a made-up movie. And the movie's called Cigarette Burns. I forgot to mention. And yeah, he goes out looking for it, and it devolves into his insanity where, like, he meets people who have seen it or meet people that, like, used to be with people who have seen it and died from it, and all these stories are, like, you know, amount to each other, and the whole thing is about the lore of the movie that kills someone for real. And, you know, and you actually get to see clips from it, and it's, not, you know, see the movie within the movie, but you see stuff from the movie for sure, and it does, like, evolve into, like, insanity at the end of the movie. Cigarette Burns itself, and it does get pretty crazy in its horror aspects. I mean, for a you know, a Masters of Horror episode, I guess, is what I mean. It does get pretty cool, pretty wacky. So I would suggest, recommend that if you are interested. You can buy all these or rent them singly if you want, or you can just get the entire... Yes, individually, I meant to say. And, yeah, it just made sense in my head. Again, that's how I got Imprint. I just got Imprint by itself for $5. So I got Cigarette Burns as well, again, for the review that we did on the other show I do. So, yeah, so it's on there. It's a John Carpenter movie. We just talked about Halloween, but this is a way later piece of work. Cigarette Burns, check it out. Stars the dude from The Walking Dead, if you like that. And that's what I've been watching. And that is it for our recent discoveries. And we're going to take a little break here. And we shall return with the first movie of the evening, which is what, Luke?
I heard Rob whisper. 7,500?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Good job. On the first try. First try. Stay with us.
You guys seem to know each other.
We have a boy at home.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you ready for boarding, guys?
We were born ready. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, your captain. I'd like to wish you a nice day and thank you for your trust in us.
So, guys, Isha.
UAV 162, what's your emergency?
We have a 7500.
Open the door!
Several men attacked our cockpit. We stopped them for now. The captain is injured. Status of the crew, I don't know.
They have a hostage. They're going to kill him if I don't open the door.
And one other guy's to die.
Don't stop, please.
I can't open the door.
Let her go. Please. Please, I beg. Please.
When terrorists try to seize control of a Berlin perilous flight, a soft-spoken young American co-pilot struggles to save the lives of the passengers and crew while forging a surprising connection with one of the hijackers. 7,500. Amazon Original. Prime Video.
You always say that as if the plot description you just read is like a quote from it. That's how you read it.
Maybe. Directed by some dude named Patrick Volrath? I don't know. Never heard of him. Written also by him and some other dude. Jeez. The only one of worth is to mention is starring as Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Because I don't know anyone else.
Wow. So. Way to culturize yourself.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, that's probably what's driving the movie's popularity right now.
That is the only thing.
Of course it is.
So,
although it's been a while since I've seen him, though.
Hasn't it? He...
He took a hiatus, I think.
Yeah, he's not been doing much since...
I think he had a kid or something.
Maybe. Wasn't he on that... didn't he have like a YouTube channel or something?
I think he did, yeah.
It's called like Press Record or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all.
All right.
Yeah, his last big thing was like Snowden, and then he did Straight Outta Oz, and then some TV stuff. Yeah, he's... Whatever. Anyways, I'll go first. Yeah. I felt like this was the poor man's Captain Phillips.
Oh, okay. They're going to go with another plane movie.
No, no, it's a hijacking type of situation.
You're right, it's another. Yeah, it's a good angle.
Air Force One?
Never seen it.
What's wrong with you?
A lot. Let's not get into that fucking book. It's a whole, that could be a whole fucking podcast in itself, spanning years. Anyways, yeah, it's like a very... Yeah, that's Poor Man's Captain Phillips. It only really takes place in the cockpit of the entire film. So kudos to them on, you know, making that whole thing work with the camera being right there. I mean, cockpits usually tend to be small. So
all Roth heard was cock.
Cock!
Facts.
Anyways. Overall, it was okay. His acting was meh. There wasn't much acting to him. He was just very...
They did a good description in the soft spoken
right, part. Yeah, like soft spoken, not monotone, but just, you know, so you had like one kind of big burst of emotion from him, really, at one point that I won't mention, and that was about it. Yeah, kind of a cool, calm, collect guy. I would want him to fly my plane.
Yeah, right, I guess you would.
Right. Yeah. Probably would never watch this movie again unless it, you know, came to Oscar's house and it was already on.
What is it? 3 out of 5. My place and replaying movies.
I'm just saying. 3 out of 5 okay. Right now.
All right.
Who wants to go next?
And say that I do think that there was plenty of opportunity for Joseph Gordon-Levitt to really belt it out. Captain Phillips style, actually. As a matter of fact, Tom Hanks killed it in that movie. That's what made the movies awesome. Is that
still haven't seen
oh
it.
Wow, you're missing out on a really good performance. Blasphemy. Really good performance. Yeah, I know. Yeah, like Tom Hanks, he always gives a good. No, but this is like top 5 of his own movies performances. Anyway, yeah, he could have. I'm not saying that. I don't know his Levitts. I mean, I don't know like all his range. You know, I know he has limits for sure. Maybe this movie was maybe too. Either too focused on other things or like he didn't like take the challenge, you know, of doing the entire movie in one place. He didn't rise up to the challenge as much as maybe others would, you know? That's how I feel. I feel like he could have probably done, you know, a little more. But not that he was bad or anything. He was solid. He was solid. It's not like he was lazy about it either, so I won't say that either. The premise itself, though, it's been you know, if you want to compare it, I would have compared it to United 93 in the same vein, United 93 or like that Executive Decision maybe. But yeah, it's, you know, it was okay. What I liked about it, the one thing that surprised me and I liked about it is that it moves at a quicker pace with the things that occur. And we'll get to spoilers, and I'll explain what I mean. But, when you get to, like, the third act, you're like, oh, this is where we get. This is the destination, you know, if you'll pardon the pun there. The destination of the movie is this point. And, like, this is what it's really trying to focus on and how it leads to the characters that are in that third act. And, I enjoyed the premise of that. You know, I enjoyed the pace of that. I enjoyed where things went, even if I thought the details of getting there were just okay. That's how I feel. Rough?
Overall, it kind of flopped for me. I get what the movie was trying to do. I just felt like it was kind of like a little forced, and especially the connection that they try to do with one of the hijackers. And then also just like... It did, but at the same time, it did feel human-esque in like how he wants to defend his significant other more than he wants to defend some random person. You know what I'm saying? He's willing to bend, just like anybody. You're willing to bend more than you are willing to bend for somebody you don't know.
Or Beckham.
Just like that. So other than that, I mean, I would say the same thing with... about Joseph Gordon-Levitt here is just like, I feel like he did have a chance 100% to do a little bit more somewhere in the acting wise. There's a couple flourishes, but nothing really spectacular. But overall, it's a hard premise to talk about. Also, it's a hard premise to, you know, to do. And it is a cool, like, kind of low budget movie. With just like kind of being, they show the plane what, twice in the whole movie.
Yeah, I think something like that.
So, but yeah, overall, like, it just didn't. I just didn't click as much as I thought it would have. I hoped it would have. Because I didn't know what the hell to think about this movie. So yeah, overall, just kind of meh. That was all right. That's as much as it's getting for me.
Yeah, I can see that. I want to maybe talk. I guess maybe this is the perfect time to talk about what this movie says about terrorism, if anything, and what we think of it in comparison to other movies that have kind of tackled this kind of topic, not just hijacking, I mean, but terrorism. And it's to say that I don't know if this movie is trying to avoid any kind of political agenda or kind of like, not even like answers, but like tackling some ideas about either what it feels like to be, you know, someone on the other end of the hijacking or the hijackers themselves or anything like that. It has no interest. It seemed not to, at least that's how I felt. Has no interest in doing that kind of thing. Kind of makes it more of a personal story with the co-pilot, right? And it kind of sticks to that. And in doing so, I feel like the movie has both nothing to say about hijacking, terrorism, but it should. Like, why make this movie then?
Yeah, it's
weird. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that or any avenue of anything that I'm talking about with regards of terrorism?
I'll agree with you because I was already talking. But yeah, it is kind of weird where it's just like, I feel like they did have a platform when they're using the bright. And you could have talked about it or brought it up in a different way. Anything. Something in that weird, interesting way. And I just feel like they don't, or they figure they don't need to. But then again, what's the point? What are you making the movie for if you're just trying to continue awareness? Like, I don't understand. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying it's the movie has to do it, but I feel like also,
then why?
What are we seeing different here than what we've seen in other movies or hear or have heard in real life, you know, and stuff like that? So, what do you think, Luke?
You think it's nothing?
I guess not.
Are you there, Luke? Did you cut off? Oh, shit. He's not there. Audio problems. Lost power. He lost power.
He lost power.
Let's keep talking then. and then when we do the spoilers, maybe we'll... maybe he'll be back on by then. If not, we'll cut it and come back. All right. You know, it kind of reminds me of that movie John Q with Denzel Washington. Do you remember that movie, Ralph?
I think so. That's the one with the school? Yeah,
no, I don't know if it was a school. I think it was a hospital. Denzel Washington.
Hospital, yes.
It's Dog Day Afternoon situation, hostages and stuff, where his son needs like a heart transplant and they, you know, can't give it to him, right? So he does this whole hostage thing. Right. And it's about him, right? It's about his personal journey with this craziness going around him. Is this movie was doing that, but instead of the perpetrator, you know, because John Q, he's the one who's doing the hostages. He, you know, this movie, 7500, just goes with the, with like the character that just survives, you know, like the, like one of the hostages that has no agenda other than to survive, you know, and, you know, and it's, I don't know, it doesn't seem, okay, I guess falls flat and it's weird. And, but yeah. I guess, that's all I really could say without going to spoilers, which we're going to have to do if we want to bring Luke back on. So let's get on to spoilers for 7500 starting now.
European 162, what's your emergency?
Michael?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Just focus now. I'm bringing down the airplane.
Yeah. Okay.
European
162,
what's your emergency?
We're at 7500.
Okay, understood. Could you explain what happened?
This is Tobias Ellis, the first officer speaking. The captain is injured, but he's okay. Several men attacked our cockpit. We stopped them for now. One of them is still in the cockpit. He's unconscious. The rest are in the cabin. Status of the crew, I don't know.
I just hope they're sending it back.
Understood. How many passengers are on board?
85.
Okay, where would you like to go to? To what airport?
Spoilers.
Was that his, near headlights? Something?
Seamless transition.
Anyways, before I got cut off, I was going to say I'm glad this movie didn't take up such a political thing, because I'm like, I was expecting to hear this fucking spiel about how the West is fucking over these countries and all this stuff and how they need to get recognition. And I'm like, it's been done in every movie. Please don't rehash it. So that was my one thing. Back onto the whole thing. So the stewardess on the flight is his baby mama, which he has a kid with, obviously. And she gets shanked.
That's literally the whole purpose of saying baby mama.
Yeah, well, in case people don't know. She gets shanked by the terrorists because he will not open the cockpit door. And that's like the time you see him being the most emotional, where he's like fucking shit up in the cockpit, but not taking
the plane down. Kind of rally the other passengers to fight them also.
Yes, he did do that. And apparently, I'm surprised, because literally all they had was like a couple glass bottles.
It was like shards of glass, right? That's what they had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they broke a wine bottle or something, and that's what they used to hijack
his plane. It was where, like, if you noticed the way the googles were.
Oh, the bathroom scene?
Sure.
I don't know. It seems like he goes into the bathroom and like then he comes about, and I wasn't sure if that's when he got the probably. Bottle.
No, I just meant when you get a close up of the weapons, half of the shard that the side that they're holding is like grooved differently, so that way they can hold it without cutting themselves. That's like So it's designed that way. It's not like they just broke something on the plane and used that.
I feel like these passengers would have probably taken them out down faster totally than
I don't know. Why there was such a?
There was like what, four guys, and one of them was in the cockpit, like half dead, and the other one was kind of stuck in. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No. 80 some people versus three. It's yeah. You get a couple casualties maybe, but eventually they'll get their asses kicked.
I thought the dead girlfriend aspect of the movie would have brought back some sort of. I don't know what to. I'm not saying I expected something specific. But I thought it might have come back in some sort of way that would lead to the ending. And it didn't. Now, other than the emotional connection, the fact that he is now the only parent.
A single father,
right. The only parent to that child that's at home. You know, that's the only, obviously, the thing with her death that comes in. But I guess I expected some sort of something, some resolve or... I don't know. I guess a typical movie thing. I guess what I expected. Maybe it's a typical movie thing. Maybe not. But what do you think of the kid terrorist, the young one?
Yeah, he wasn't very convinced because he did not want to die for the quote unquote cause or whatever the hell they were trying to do.
Yeah, he was just roped into it. He was like following the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. That's what he looked like. You know, he was just kind of peer pressured into it, right?
Right. Mama's boy, because obviously she calls him when they're on the ground.
Right, instantly mama's boy, right. Yeah, what do you guys think of his decisions after, like right before they land and after they land?
So at first, you know, he was easily, you know, convinced to kind of help him out and like, you know, stop the hijacking. But then he kind of regressed and kind of like said like, no, I like... kind of not go through with it, but I still want to escape. I don't want to see, you know, he wasn't very set in stone. And I guess that's his character. He's still trying to figure it out. Like, what am I, like, what he stands for.
I think, I don't know if Ralph wants to say something now, or am I holding it up, Ralph?
Okay. No, not at all.
I think the whole purpose of the movie was trying to do with him is that to show, like, blind fear and just reaction. Like, the guy was shaking so much of, you know, coming to terms with his death right before he stopped it that, you know, the guy was convulsing, right? And it happens. When you're about to die, your body reacts to it. And the whole movie is him, like, just not thinking, not in thought process at all. He's just, like, in DEFCON 1 alert mode, like, anxiety and adrenaline pumped to the max. And the problem with that's a good idea, by the way, to show that. The thing is that I bought it for a while, and I was like, oh, this is very interesting. He's going to fuck up here, because how can you not? You're human, and he's freaking out now that he has control of the cockpit. But they extended that for the whole third act, and I just couldn't. I don't know. I just couldn't. It got boring, or it got diluted along the way. But it felt like the whole ending is like, it was so obvious that his brain should have kicked in at some point, and it didn't feel like it ever did. That's what I'm trying to say. It never felt like it did, even when things calmed down in the cockpit, like when they landed and everything. Like, it felt like he was just still reacting like his ex terrorist friends who just died did. I don't know. Such a weird. I don't know.
That was like his redemption arc could have been right there. Yeah, but
I wish the movie redeemed them, and not only would the movie be a little shorter, nothing's wrong with that, but it would have like felt more realistic, at least in the context of the movie's premise. I feel like that.
Instead, he got the Captain Phillips treatment.
I guess he did. Roth, what do you think of that?
No, I agree. I agree for the most part. It was lackluster. I mean, that's the problem with the movie. And I'm not saying I wanted the thing that Luke said earlier in the beginning during spoilers. Another propaganda thing or whatever, you know, like hating the West or whatever, and more pushing towards that from the character. I didn't want that either, but I did want something originalist, I guess. And it's a human reaction, right? Just to not do anything either. But I just felt like it was, you know, it doesn't make for that good of a movie.
Right, it's like a damned if you do and damned if you don't. On one side, you can look
really, really weird by
spouting all this stuff about terrorism in the West. And on the other hand, not doing so can look a little fucking like what's going on here. There's no right answer. And almost, you know, this subgenre of movies, you know, terrorist movies, may go along with drug movies. Movies about drugs. Like, everything's been said before. You know, everything's been said about the drug war. Everything. You know, there's been so many angles on that fucking thing. Real based or not real based, biopic or period, whatever. Right. That you feel you've seen 10, you've seen them all. And it's really hard to do something that makes people stand up on it or talk about it or whatever. And I'm not saying there's zero things out there today, but there is way less than there used to be that people talk about. And that's, and maybe this subgenre of terrorism, maybe it's in the same vein. Like, it's going by is that same path, because I don't have an answer for this movie as to what I really wanted. I just wanted it to be, I don't know, either more entertaining. And by entertaining, obviously, I mean either more thought provoking or more whatever. I don't mean like fun times. I just mean more entertaining, glued me more to the screen. And I just didn't the way I wanted to. It felt like more ultimately like a gimmick, like my entire movie in a cockpit. With fucked up shit happening, see how he gets out, right? And nothing else to say. So the thing I mentioned earlier, and when I first said my first remarks on the movie, I said that I like the pace of it. Is that like the way it's written down? When you think about it, like the opening with the credits, really cool. You see the suspects in the cameras. Nice way to do it. Kind of a cold, chilling kind of way when you notice what's happening. It's not like random people. When you notice it, it's kind of cool. I like that opening. And then it gets to like the intro of the guy right away. And then it gets hijacked as is the first passenger dies. Then the girlfriend dies. Still the first, like right, the first act ending around there. Second act starting. I'm like, wow, this is going really insane. And you know that guy who's like passed out on the floor, he's going to wake up, you know? So like, I just like how everything went as fast as it did. They landed the plane. The kid, you know, redeemed himself sort of by not killing everyone. And yeah, like I was enjoying the pace of it. Like, oh wow, this whole thing is just keep going. It keeps going. It's nice. It's not the entire movie isn't in the air. You know, the entire movie isn't just negotiations. You know, and I guess I enjoyed that. But overall, the details is what we don't enjoy in general. So, but that's all I've got to say. And unless you guys got something more,
3 out of 5 stars.
All right,
I'm good. Right.
So that's it for our review of 7500 on Amazon Prime. So check it out if you're interested. Now we're going to take a little break, and when we return, we shall do what is it, Luke?
The active radio. Radioactive.
Wow. Radioactive man. Stay with us.
I want to tell you about radium, a most peculiar and remarkable element because it does not behave as it should. Science is changing, and the very people who are running science are the people who believe the world is flat. And I'm going to prove them wrong.
You're Maria Sklodowska.
I'm Pierre Curie.
Your science is brilliant.
You're proposing a partnership.
That's exactly what I'm doing. You're just extraordinary.
There is another element that's skewing the results.
You think you found an undiscovered element?
You have fundamentally misunderstood the atom.
Our work's been nominated for the Nobel Prize for our discovery of radioactivity. And the commendation only mentions my name.
I'm just the wife, isn't that right?
What have I ever treated you like?
I am the wife of Pierre Curie. I want to protest in the strongest possible terms. It is a distinct lack of respect.
They don't like you here.
What have other people's opinions ever affected anything I've done?
Pioneer, rebel, genius. Radioactive is incredibly... wait, this is horribly written.
Wow.
What the fuck was that? Do you want to redo this?
No. Let's go. I was reading this tagline. I'm like, this should be a...
fucking pre-read it?
Radioactive is incredible. True story of Marie Curie.
Having an embolism?
Radioactive is the incredible true story of Marie Curie and her Nobel Prize-winning work that changed the world, starring Rosamund Pike and Sam Riley. Yeah. They left the out. I don't know. It bothered me. Anyway. When I glimpsed at it, it seemed okay. Then I started reading it. I was like, no. Then
got it.
Anyways.
My funeral. Got it.
I'm going to butcher this name. Marjane Satrapi is the director. She did Persepolis.
Persepolis.
Yeah, she's from Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Middle East. I know things.
Where'd you run to? Oh, fuck. You owe me a Coke, Jinx.
Like you say, you fuck afterwards?
Yeah. You
know. Anyways, this was actually adapted from a comic book.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, Radioactivist?
Yeah, it's by Lauren Redness. It was called Radioactive, Marie and Pierre Curie, A Tale of Love and Fallout.
That's crazy, because Persepolis is based on a graphic novel.
Exactly. Except Persepolis was animated, whereas this is live action.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Persepolis?
Yes.
We reviewed it, I believe.
Oh, we did review it? Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
So how much you pay attention.
I'm just remembering. That's nothing to do with attention.
Yeah. All right. So I went first. Oscar, what did you think of Radioactive?
You know, we talked about how maybe there's nothing new to say regarding Star Wars movies. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to compare it to that. The movie was fine. It was a little better, actually, than our previous choice, previous review. I also gave it a 3 out of 5 on this one, Luke, if you want to go specific on the reading. I ended up enjoying it more than I thought, Radioactive, as far as biopics go, as far as biopics based on some famous person that everyone knows. There was some kind of hokey, there's a lot of hokiness though to the structure of this movie that are similar to a lot of biopics in general. And I think Roth and I, maybe more myself, I've been at least a little more distasteful on biography movies in general over the last 10 years or so, because they, much like other genres, they feel very similar to each other, and some of them are done really, really well. Yes, of course, and I will champion them when I feel that way, but oftentimes it's kind of hard to break that barrier of it feeling like all the other biopics. But this one almost broke it. I'm going to say that, at least that way. Almost pierced through as one of the great ones in recent memory. And but, you know, Rosamund Pike is pretty great in this movie. Pretty great. I liked her a lot. I liked the husband, which I guess is that Riley character you mentioned. I liked the nature of the period drama that they're in, the setting, and how it branches the years more subtly than I thought it would. yeah, you know, I liked it. Radioactive is a thumbs up.
All right, Ralph, what do you think?
I think it was a movie.
All right, well.
About a biopic about a person. This is, I'm doing my Luke review.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you were going to say. You're
doing pretty good, right? Anyways, Marie Curie. Hey. I thought I'm gonna mirror some of the stuff that you said with the hokiness. I was gonna say hammy, kind of hammy with the with how
but I like ham.
They do so do I with the like stuff towards the end of the movie where they kind of like show effects of stuff. And I was just like, we could cut this movie down from hour 49 to, I don't know, hour 40. Hey, save me 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyways, but besides that, I like the story. I thought it was a little, I don't know. I think Rosamund Pike kind of does over the top roles all the time anyway. So I thought this was kind of over the top-ish but again, I don't know anything about this person. This is like my first actual story besides knowing that what the person actually did, what Marie Curie actually did, you know.
You mean discover the elements?
Yeah.
Polonium and radium?
Right. Besides that, I don't know anything about her. Like,
well, I only knew one other fact, and that's just that she died by radioactivity.
Right. I mean, you carry a fucking jar around you with all the time. Anyways, so yeah, besides that, I didn't know anything. So kind of watching this part, I was like, ugh, like, she's kind of a whatever. But that's an interpretation, right? Or left to whatever. I like a lot of the first half of the movie more. And not like the romantic stuff, because that's just there. It is, I mean, it's part of her life, so it's not a big deal, but it's just like, okay, I'm like waiting for like them to fast forward stuff. Like, there's obviously going to be, where is the tragedy? Because not everything is, you know, fucking.
Right. Sunshine.
Sunshine and rainbows, right? Exactly. But at the same time, already the fact that she was already like almost like a pioneer in herself just for being a woman who kind of didn't even give an inch to the fact that, you know, of her being a woman and a scientist, and she always just was a scientist first. But yeah, I felt like some of those flashbacks and flash forward stuff were kind of lackluster and or not needed as much as I do want or something from a movie like that. Although the flash forwarding is a little bit more new, I don't usually see that in movies, especially biopics. So yeah, other than that, it was all right. I mean, I guess three.
Right.
It's not a two. It's not bad. So.
All right. Some biopics go. I thought this was the.
It's gonna be biased as hell.
The one I did not care for as much.
Oh really?
Yeah, no.
Didn't expect that.
The best part about it was actually the flash forwarding, where it showed like, you know, the radioactivity being used for like cancer treatments, how they had it used for like the atomic bombings on Japan in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, how they were detonating it in the desert to see, you know, what it does, and people were watching it.
I just felt like the first time it was like, oh, okay, yeah, like, yeah, we know that. That makes sense. And then they kept doing it, and I was like, oh, right. Okay.
And then, like, I think there's also like a little Chernobyl thing in there as well. So, yeah, that was kind of cool. And then at one point where they were showing like all the stuff that they were making with fucking the elements, they had like radioactive toothpaste. Radioactive this, and I'm like, oh my god, no! What are you doing?
That was a sweet summer child. That was a box of disaster.
Oh my god,
that was like they're giving themselves like smallpox blankets and not knowing right. What it is. Like it's really bad.
Keep me warm.
Oh Jesus!
Warm. That was so cringe. I was like, oh, you stupid fuck. But overall, I just. She just came off like such a bitch.
Why would you say that?
She's just too like, they were like, hey, we're going to offer you this job, you know? She's like, well, making sure it's not based on merit and not pity. It's like, no, we're interviewing other people. Making sure it's on my merit. Okay, bitch, don't get the job then. Starve. Fuck you. Jesus. Just because, you know, I get it. You want to be taken seriously, but there's a way to go about it.
She just never gave an inch, but that's like, it's like a good thing. You need somebody like that. To push, especially then, it does no sense for somebody to do it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, not no sense. Well, in but some it aspects makes of little the
workforce,
sense.
You do.
Yes, I agree, but a little sense. I mean, not no sense. Yeah.
Not as much, right? Yeah. We're very privileged in the form of
work. Right. No, 100%. I get that. What I was going to say is, Also, what did they ever explain? I don't know. This is a spoiler because it's the beginning of the movie where why she doesn't like to go to hospitals.
Yeah, they did at the end of the movie. You get a flashback of her as a child seeing her mom die in the hospital.
That's
it. That's such a very. It was very lame. And I was like, really? This is it. Like,
what did you expect that she saw an explosion with the Joker in the hospital? What the fuck did you expect, guys?
Well, no, I knew, not only in the biopic,
but I hope that was just added in for movie's sake because that's really her. She just lost the fucking voice to me.
No,
she saw Hannibal Lecter just tear up a few folks.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know if it was something else besides that. And I knew the mom. Listen, you can fucking the mom dies. We know that fucking shit. That was gonna happen.
Mom's not gonna die in a fucking theater. Jesus Christ.
Just, I don't know.
We're terrible people.
We are. Really are. No, but I do have to say, like,
also, what did you think of what do you think of the fact that they didn't speak anything in any other language besides English?
America, fuck America,
yeah, that's what it is. It's like putting Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a room full of international.
Yeah, but everybody else is speaking in other languages. That's the difference.
That's right. You're right, Ralph. But you know, it's like that, but to the more
I don't know. I feel like there was a disconnect in here for that because we're in France in the early 1900s. Or
it's whoever paid the bills for this movie. They
no, I get it. I get it.
And Rosamund Pike ain't speaking no Polish.
No, I'm not expecting her to. I'm not asking her to either. I'm I would have preferred it. So would I. Yeah. So would I.
Yeah. At least it would feel authentic if that's what they're trying to do.
But I've always liked the transition that like we're gonna speak German or Polish or whatever language, and then it's like, oh, we all of a sudden speak English, and everyone's just like, we all know they're speaking that language, but they're not. Yeah.
What's that? Have you guys ever seen that movie Valkyrie or that submarine movie? I think Crimson Tide. No, it's not Crimson Tide. The Hunt for Red October. Have you guys
seen that? Hunt.
The Hunt. Anyway,
I think I saw it.
I've seen both of them
very similarly, and I want more movies to do this. If you want to have people who are based on real life people who speak different languages other than English, and you want the movie in English, just start off with those movies. Dead. They started off with the original language, and they translated the language in front of your eyes with auditory only. You know,
I just like, fucking said that.
Did you say that? I don't remember that at all.
Literally in a roundabout way.
Yeah, and then just that way to say, like, okay, there are some movies, and the acknowledging, it makes it cool. It's just a cool little flair.
That's exactly what I said. That's, like, my favorite. Yeah, more movies should do that, 100%. Yeah.
I don't know why they don't.
FYI?
What?
The Hunt for Red October is the first movie with Jack Ryan in it, and Jack Ryan Season 2 is on Amazon Prime. This is not an ad.
Why did you get so close to the microphone?
What the fuck are you? Are you riding some Amazon dick that we don't know about?
Wait, are you sponsored?
I am not a shill. This is not sponsored.
I'm a shill.
Okay. Very shill-esque.
Very shilling.
And not Kurt Schilling, the baseball.
Where were we on this movie? Where were we? Okay, so one thing I hated, I didn't like this, and this is in the opening. They couldn't not say her name, Madame Curie. They couldn't not say it. They said Madame Curie like 40 times. I know it didn't. It wasn't 40 times, but it felt like such a stupid, like, oh, this is Madame Curie, guys. It's she's over here. She's over. You know, no one speaks.
Do you know? I actually forgot her name because everyone kept calling her Madame Curie Madame whatever.
Yeah, her name is Marie.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, it's Marie. Totally forgot.
Yeah, yeah, it's fucking. I hated that so much. I'm like, oh no, this is not the movie we're going in, are we? And then aspects of it was like that. Obviously, not everything. It looks like I'm the one that dislikes biopics the most. Oscar here. I think I enjoyed it more than you guys did because I actually enjoyed that. Those future things a lot more every time they did it. I was anticipating them.
Luke liked them too. I don't know. I felt like it took away. I just felt like they were so hammy, and I was like, ugh. Like,
I guess no. Yeah, I can totally see. I see that 100%. How others would see that. Yeah, hammy.
I like the first ones because I was like, oh, that's cool. Because you're giving examples for everything, the good and the bad.
Yeah,
you know. Right, and I was like, that's cool. That's awesome. And then I was like, after like the second one, I was like,
yeah. I hope I'll leave shattering. Sorry, this this discovery, not invention. Discovery was. And I liked it. It kind of grounds it more to reality, even though it looked like reality.
I get what it does, and it does do that. It's almost like giving you the history lesson. yeah. right? In the yeah. movie, which is kind of cool without like beating it over the head. You know, it's like without her, we don't have any of this. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. That makes sense.
We don't have a lot of death and destruction either.
Right, 100%. Also, the one scene that really did it for me is the Hiroshima with the paper plane, the little kid.
Oh, yeah, you're just like, oh, when's it going to drop? You know it's coming.
Well, you know yeah. it's coming. And I was like, why is it taking so long? Like, why did we have to do this budget?
Wow.
Why was this budget like so long? I don't get it. Like, we know what happens.
Fuck. Wow, let the kid live a little moment longer.
He's dead. Just die already.
The fuck?
By the way, that guy's look was priceless.
Yeah, it was pretty priceless look. Damn.
I'm very cold-hearted.
Let's get into... should we get into spoilers for Real Life? Is this like a thing we do?
Real Life?
Yeah, let's get into spoilers. Fuck it. Okay. Spoilers for Radioactive. Starting she now. Died.
And no, her husband.
No wait, shit. Wait.
There was no pause. We need a pause there. I need for Oscar's sake.
She died.
A longer pause.
You've been frowning at that all week.
I'm observing.
What are you looking for?
I find it easier to observe when I'm not talking. I measure uranium and I discover less radiations than I do in its ore.
The ore is more powerful than the element.
Exactly. And I can't
quite work. There must be some anomaly in the results.
I've run the same test 6 times. I get identical results. My instinct is that there is another element that's skewing the results.
You think you found an undiscovered element?
If you're laughing at me, then I'm...
No, I'm not laughing at you. That's exciting. Your measuring equipment's useless.
It's worked perfectly fine for me so far.
If we're
going
to get the figures you need, we need something that's capable of extreme precision.
There is no we.
You need something that's capable of measuring microscopic aspects of
No,
energy.
Please, yes, no,
yes,
no, no.
I have an idea. Follow me.
Fuck.
She died.
Up and at them.
Up and at them.
And her husband would have died too. From radioactive poisoning, if it not for
those meddling kids,
it was for those horse.
We just combined like 5 references. What's going on? Ah, it's the most fun review.
Also, did that guy just not want to stop on the horse? What the fuck was that?
Dude,
about?
He just said,
that was a very old fashioned hit and run, right?
Yeah. Innocent bystander, fuck it, let's go.
that was some hit and run action right there.
Yeah, no plates, fuck you.
Yeah. right.
I can recognize
he
the
had
horse.
Two horses on that buggy.
I don't have tags on my horses.
There's no branding on this horse, sir. Yeah, that was filmed weird. It was filmed weird. It felt like a hit and run, but old style. Like
I felt that was probably kind of taken from the graphic novel, because I was looking at some of the things. And I'm like, I think they like pulled this like scene. Like it was probably animated in the graphic novel in such a way. So that's why they wanted to include it in the movie. I'm not for sure, but I think that's why they did some of those scenes, though.
Okay.
To kind of pay homage to the graphic novel.
Homage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The age of 7. welcome to English. Yeah. So in spoilers, I guess the death, of course, we all knew that happened. It opens with her about to die, and the whole movie, I guess, is like a retelling in her head, which has, you know, been done before 1,000 times. I guess one thing that I enjoyed was like the little things in her fame. Some of that stuff I did kind of enjoy, even and like I wanted more of. Like I wanted more of when people hated her guts, because once they found out that radium can fuck you up. Once that was discovered, or like you know how the husband was obsessed with that fortune teller lady. Like I liked the way they were using a new thing introduced to their world as a spiritualism, as this like supernatural paranormal thing, because that happens today. That happens with the invention of a lot of new things since then and before then. When we discover how to smelt metal for the first time, you wow everyone. They can start using it for everything, for toothpaste, for everything, you know? Like, I like how the movie did integrate that, did focus on it more than other movies would have, I guess, as to how people took it. This new invention, this new discovery, as something to put into everything. Like, what does this explain about the universe? What does this say about this? Even though for us today, present day, it's just radioactivity. We know what it is. It's not, it's a horrible thing, but it's not like, it's not like it answers all the questions either, but they act like it does. And that was cool. I like that. So I do want to mention that. But yes, that fortune teller later did die, and they closed down the fucking shop. So do you guys like that stuff in the movie?
Yeah, I actually thought that was probably the coolest stuff in the movie, where it's like everyone's just like, oh, hey, we have new elements. Let's fucking go ham and find out what we can do with these things.
Green is the new black.
But we don't, 100% right. Cool, I glow in the dark, mommy. Mommy, I didn't make it past two.
It makes little Simpson jokes really relate better.
They kind of do, yeah.
Right, at the nuclear plant?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What did you guys think of her, like, life after, like, with the kids growing up and everything? What did you guys think of that whole segment?
I felt like it was rushed in comparison. But, I mean, it made sense because I guess that's her part. But at the same time, I felt like just we didn't get enough with the kids. I felt like we missed something with the kids. We needed more, a bigger interaction with them or something. Maybe there just wasn't, and that's what it seemed like.
Maybe if the kids did something worthy of a movie or a biopic.
Wow. Anyway.
They discovered how to do, what was it?
X-rays.
Artificial radioactivity, right?
Based off her stuff.
I'm just saying.
Still, it doesn't matter.
Make an element. Right. Discover an element, then you'll get your movie.
Yeah, the movie cared more about her love affairs than...
Yeah, like they wasted more time on that.
It is weird. Yeah, I didn't like that.
That you couldn't... Even if you showed her not showing... They did one scene. Not even a scene, like half a scene, where it was like showing her not caring about paying attention to the kids. Like, do you need feeding? No? Okay, be gone. Like, that's the question she asked or something, right? I mean, I swear to fucking God, that's like the line. And they were
that was pretty bad.
They were like, no, okay, bye, get away from me. Like, that's it.
Mom's trying to get some dick here.
Okay? Right, exactly. But it was just like, I felt like we could have seen a little bit more of that. Even if it was just lack of it, you still could have shown that instead of the lack of a relationship with this random guy that you just clearly rebounded off of.
Yeah, it was a clearly rebound. He looked similar to the other guy. I thought the guy came alive again. He looked so similar to her husband. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Every time I saw the kids, I'm like, oh, emotional anchors. And nothing came out of that.
Oscar, she obviously had a type, okay?
Just saying, it looked so similar. I thought the guy came back from the dead or something for a minute, just for like a hot minute. All right, anything else? I mean, we're kind of goofing off on this movie, but... Yeah, we said our thoughts overall for sure. Anything else you just want to add or mention or whatever?
Nah, I'm good.
No, I think I said what I said.
All right. So we're going to take another break here, as that is the end of the review for Radioactive, also on Amazon Prime. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will review something that's, I don't think, on Amazon Prime, but maybe you can rent it. An old movie called What, Luke?
5 Easy Pieces.
Yeah. Stay with us.
I'd like a plain omelet, no potatoes, tomatoes instead, a cup of coffee, and toast.
No substitution.
What do you mean, you don't have any tomatoes?
Only what's on the menu. You can have a number 2, a plain omelet. It comes with cottage fries and rolls.
Now, I know what it comes with, but it's not what I want.
Well, I'll come back when you make up your mind.
Wait a minute. I have made up my mind. I'd like a plain omelet, no potatoes on the plate, a cup of coffee, and a side order of wheat toast.
I'm sorry, we don't have any side orders of toast. I'll give you an English muffin or a coffee roll.
What do you mean you don't make side orders of toast? You make sandwiches, don't you?
Would you like to talk to the manager?
Hey, Mac.
Shut up. You've got bread and a toaster of some kind?
I don't make the rules.
Okay, I'll make it as easy for you as I can. I'd like an omelet, plain, and a chicken salad sandwich on wheat toast. No mayonnaise, no butter, no lettuce, and a cup of coffee.
And number 2, chicken salad sand. Hold the butter, the lettuce, and the mayonnaise, and a cup of coffee. Anything else?
Yeah, now all you have to do is hold the chicken, bring me the toast, give me a check for the chicken salad sandwich, and you haven't broken any rules.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
You see that sign, sir? Yes, you all have to leave. I'm not taking any more of your smartness and sarcasm.
You see this sign?
Fantastic that you could figure that all out and lie that down on her so you could come up with a way to get your toast. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, I didn't get it, did I?
No, but it was very clever. I would have just punched her out.
A dropout from upper-class America picks up work along the way on oil rigs when his life isn't spent in a squalid succession of bars, motels, and other points of interest. Five easy pieces.
Not on Prime.
You could buy or rent it on Prime for $2.99.
I'm sure you can. All right.
What starring Jack Nicholson. Directed by Bob Raffleson?
Question mark?
That's a Wesselton.
All right. So five easy pieces. 1970. That's right.
That's a... It's old.
Yeah, it's a... Whoa.
Take Low. It easy.
Yeah, starring Karen Black, Billy Green Bush, Fanny Flagg.
People I've never heard of, aside from Jack Nicholson.
Sally Struthers? You never heard of Sally Struthers?
Who?
Sally Struthers, dude. Come on.
Who? She's from Gilmore Girls. Whatever. Jack Nicholson. I just focus on Ive, dude. So, this is our first marathon for an actor we've ever done. So, there's more than one way to skin this particular kind of cat. So, should we just start with the performance first? So that's what we're here for. That's why we reviewed it first. And then we can go into the movie itself.
Yeah. You guys feel about that?
Okay. Okay. So, Luke, who's going first?
Me.
I assume Ralph.
Fuck.
Yeah. All right. Oscar. I mean, Ralph, let's hear it.
What are we doing? Performance?
Yes.
Yes. The performance of one Jack Nicholson.
I mean, I think Oscar prefaced it before the start of this review was, what a fucking asshole. I mean, it's just like, I want to give the guy, he's like a controlling freak. He plays this guy who just manipulates women to see it his way, you know, and make him feel like he's not doing anything wrong, you know, but making them feel incompetent or whatever like that. Playing mind games with people. Like the early version of somebody playing mind games with people. It's always happened. We just like didn't really see it on screen, you know. Or at least I don't remember seeing it in movies earlier on this time. As often, as pronounced, I guess. That's what I meant to say. And that's what Jack Nicholson plays. I mean, he plays this role of just like, he just wants to do whatever he wants to do. And it doesn't matter what anybody else, he doesn't care about anybody else's. And if it doesn't benefit him, he doesn't give a shit. And that's literally how he's living his life. And it's shitty because obviously he has like nothing going for him besides like, I guess sometimes getting lucky with things. But he's obviously like squandered away any talent he's had and doesn't want to do anything with it because he feels like he shouldn't have to rely on something that was given to him. It's like a guy, like it's like a big baby throwing a fit that he doesn't want something. Overall his performance is like you could tell he's just like, he just never grew up properly or he didn't grow. Maybe he was too coddled or something. I don't know. Something's missing in him and he doesn't even know what the hell it is. And he's just kind of living through life. But I don't really know his age in this. I think he's supposed to be in his 30s, maybe late 20s. I don't know what his age is supposed to be in this, where he's supposed to fit.
Yeah, around there, I think.
That's what I'm thinking, too. But, you know, because you never know, like, fucking 20-year-olds playing high schoolers. So, the overall, his role is like this. He plays it well. It's just like an asshole role. And, I think Jack Nicholson was basically fucking born to play asshole roles throughout his life. Anyways, because he's always done a good job of that. But in this movie specifically, it's just like the one redeeming moment he can have towards the end. Even that, he like there's still an asshole about it. I guess that's how I felt about performance-wise on his end.
all right. Well, I think, Jack Nicholson's... movies, in general, he's kind of known to be pretty out there, right? I mean, he's never normal in his movies. And that's because, like, his acting shtick or his style or whatever, yeah, it's kind of geared towards being outlandish, in some form or another. I mean, he's being a crazy person or whatever. But this is this might be the closest to a normal guy he's playing that we'll ever get to see in this marathon. And that's both a compliment because it is the movie that made him big, because it got him the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest roles. It got him other roles we're going to get into in the near future, including Easy Rider in this movie coupled, got him Hollywood success, I guess, you know, from there on. He kind of started writing his own little ticket in the 80s. He proved himself a lot more. And then he got to pick whatever he wanted to do. yeah, and he's like a who's who in Hollywood stars, right? He kind of knew a lot of people. He knew everyone. He knew which actor had the best drugs, that kind of thing. And I think in this movie, it's funny how he's playing almost like a little bit like lighter versions of the roles he's going to be known for later. Which Ralph kind of said earlier, the asshole role primarily. He plays wonderful assholes. He's constantly, he's a template for what not to do in a relationship if you're the man, right? Like, if you want a healthy relationship with a woman, don't do what this guy does in all the movies where he's in a couple, right? Like, exactly right. Like, he becomes that person, and this is the first movie that does that, and this is by far the most introspective, probably, I would say, out of all the movies, at least covering in our marathon specifically. And I really liked him in it. Jack Nicholson, I mean, it's he's really good. He's solid. He's more than solid in this movie and at this type of movie. And he almost, it's like you can see him, and this is where the acting really works for him, beneficiary, is that he looks like he knows he gets it. He knows what a cathartic moment looks like. He knows what's important or what should be important. It's like you can see him working it out and see that he can't abide by it. You can see him working out a reason to not do the right thing sometimes. Not every time, mind you. Sometimes he's just a pure asshole. He doesn't know how he's doing it or why people around him think he's an asshole. Right, we get those scenes too. He's not like, he's both not an idiot, but also a moron. And I really like his performance in this because he does manage to thread that line more often than not in the scenes, especially when he gets up to the house. Like the fact that he didn't bring his fucking girlfriend for 3 days until she ran out of money says a lot already. If the rest of the movie before that didn't tell you already.
Two weeks.
I'm
no, I thought it was 3 days too, because this is the movie makes it seem, but it's 2 weeks. Yeah.
Right. You're right. Yeah. What? And, you know, Raylene, right? Or Rayette or something. What was her name? Raylene? I don't remember her name.
Rayette, I think.
Rayette. My first time ever seeing that name, by the way. Rayette, she's a saint. She's a saint in so many ways. I mean, she's also very flawed, insanely flawed and all that. And she's not like a perfect person either, but like a saint compared to him. And I really felt bad for her the entire movie. I mean, we're branching into the actual review of the movie, but that's what I meant about what I said about Jack Nicholson's performance. So what did you think of his performance before we get
into it? All right. This is like the tamest Jack Nicholson role, I think. It's like he's like stepping into like, what kind of actor do I want to be? And this is like this is him like in the cocoon, like how will I emerge type of situation. Before he becomes the Jack Nicholson that we all know and love. He is a grade A dick, and I love it.
Oh, you love them, huh? Is he a role model for you in this movie?
No comment.
No comment. No. I mean, I can see elements of it being enticing, especially compared to, you know, the way people lived back then compared to the people how we live now. Yeah. I can see some of that stuff working differently today. Like the way he talks to that waitress when they pick up those other two girls.
Oh, yeah. Trying to get his toast.
Right. Get his fucking toast. And his fucking logic is sound.
By the way, fantastic. That's a fantastic way to.
Right. He had it already. He's been through this before. Not that he has to. He would have figured it out anyway. But that's showing like a strange productive side to his assholery.
No, I at the same time it's showing the what you can, the female version of what he is, which is right across from him.
Yeah, I know.
Of the fucking people, you know.
The Alaska girl.
The two most stubborn motherfuckers in a room.
Right, and you could be the, but you could be the just this utter bitch if you want to be, right? Or utter asshole or whatever the hell it is, right? Mm-hmm. And no one's going to like you, and you're just going to go around always in a fight, always in this, always in that. No one, you're never going to get along with anybody.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, do you want that? Because she's already out. She's already there, committed, 100%. And he's like, sometimes nice, sometimes not. Most of the time not. But he has his moments. He still has like those sometimes moments of like, I should invite this girl. I should do this. I should do that. You know? Like,
yeah.
And I'm just like, he's almost there. He's just not quite there. His looks obviously still get him because he is a good looking guy. Or else he doesn't get hit on. You know? That's why he... Because even Rayette says it like when they're bowling about how pretty he is or something like that. Or
yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah, you know, and that's probably my favorite part of the whole movie is when he meets his evil twin sister. Because they're both peas in a pod. They hate each other, of course, there's a certain respect, right? But ultimately, they couldn't stand each other. No way. If they were like in any kind of fashion together, they wouldn't do it, because they're both so like addicted to being themselves, you know. I think that's really what it is, a little bit. We could get into the psychology of this guy more, but did you want to say anything? You want to add anything else to the performance of Jack Nicholson, Luke? I don't know if we cut you off.
No, I mean just, you know, it's very early Jack Nicholson though. Like you can tell, he hasn't hit a stride yet.
Hmm. Oh, you're saying that he could have worked on some of the performance better?
Is that what? Yeah, sometimes it was just, I don't know. At first I wasn't sure if this was like an actual, maybe it was just like how old the movie is. I wasn't sure if this was like a big budget movie or if it was like a made for TV type of thing.
No, I don't think it was.
Yeah.
No. At the time, it was considered it was critically well received. I remember reading that. It's in the Criterion Collection, I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
Mm. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that just means it's being revered now. So maybe it wasn't then. A lot of movies get shit on when they're released. Maybe this was one of them. But I'm pretty sure I remember hearing that. On top of this making his career, or the start of his career, that he also, like the movie was also revered pretty well. But let's get into the movie itself, man, because obviously this is an old movie, so we're going to spoil the hell out of it already. I mean, we kind of did already. Okay, so first of all, in case you guys were wondering, and I did look it up because I wasn't sure what, the movie's called Five Easy Pieces. Do you guys remember know why?
No, why?
It's the name of his... of his childhood piano book. The pieces of work. Like
Orchid. I was wondering what it was. I forgot what it was.
Yeah. I had to look it up because I missed it too.
Where do they mention that?
I Googled that to find it. And that's what the answer said. And I believe it because of the piano background and the house he was in. I think in one of the pan stuff they did on the portraits and the tabletops, it must have been on there or something. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't see it myself. I just read it. That was the answer. So, because I wanted to know, because I remember growing up thinking this movie was about five different points in his life kind of movie.
That's what I thought.
I really went into this movie thinking like, okay, wasn't the first time skip? And some of those cuts did look like time skips, or maybe it was just badly edited or weirdly edited. But even then, but it wasn't. It wasn't a time skip. Everyone was the same age. Everyone, whatever. But yeah. So I Googled it, like I said, and that's the answer they gave me. So I'm going with that. So besides that, the title, man, it's not the first, obviously, in Hollywood, definitely not, or in movie history, but it's one of the big ones as being one of the first big ones that, tackles asshole behavior movies. I mean, we get a lot of them now. We get a lot of them. There's a lot more nowadays, actually, I'm pretty sure, if someone did the math or did a chart. There's a lot more in the last two decades than there have probably ever been in the history of cinema. And that's because, you know, we're just more aware of assholes and different kinds of assholes and assholes that are redeemed, assholes that can't be redeemed, assholes that, right? And there are actors that are really good at it, like Jason Schwartzman's and the, and the whatevers, you know, Tom Cruise in a way, right, in the 90s. So there's a lot of great people in it. And I think Jack Nicholson is like clearly a pioneer of this kind of thing, at least in mainstream. And I think that's what makes the movie kind of like pretty famous. And he does such a good job. Not only does he do such a good job of it, and he does spearhead all of that heavy lifting, most of it anyway. I think the movie does a good job of introducing this kind of movie. And it's not perfect. You know, like I mentioned a little bit, what the editing is, that some of it is kind of wonky for me. But I think the movie does a good job of introducing this kind of subgenre of asshole, kind of anti-romantic movies, anti-love movies almost, of this guy, like a Jack Kerouac style, like living life through whatever you want, kind of, whatever your psyche lets you belong to or whatever. Like, it's one of the first that it does, but it does a good job because it's subtle. It doesn't, you don't know what the movie is doing until like at the end of the first act, and you kind of know for sure. Because you don't know where the movie could go into. You don't know if it's about the love affairs he's going to have. He keeps having throughout the movie. You don't know if it's about Rayette's tragedy or something. You don't know if the movie's about a lot of things that it could have gone into. But no, it stubbornly sticks to Jack Nicholson's character the way Jack Nicholson's character is stubborn to the whole world. You know? And then, like I said, subtly kind of lets you in on the fact that you're watching a terrible person being terrible. Being an awful human being. No decency. The guy has no decency at all. He could play Chopin, but he has no decency. And he'll constantly let you know. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that part, that general outlook of the movie to be probably the best thing about the movie. That isn't just a performance. What do you guys think or what do you guys like about the movie?
So actually, overall, the movie, because we talked about before his role in the movie, right? His performance. And overall, the movie, I actually didn't like the movie that much. What's it called? I just didn't, maybe because I didn't know what I was getting into. And at first, it's kind of just all over the place until we finally get a plot of him having to go back to see his father.
It's kind of plotless.
Yeah, it is kind of plotless. So I'm just like, what am I watching? Am I just watching him being an asshole the whole fucking movie? Like, who the fuck wants to watch that? Jesus Christ. Like, you know, so I was kind of like, I don't want to watch him be an asshole. So the whole movie. And then when we get there, I guess the movie does kind of differ and stuff like that. I just feel like it doesn't do anything good to redeem itself overall, the movie. Character development or nothing like that. Nothing really there. And maybe that is what it is. Just trying to say is just, he's just kind of like a lost cause or whatever. That's fine if that's what it's going for. It just didn't hit me how I thought it would have hit me. And I'm not saying I was expecting, like, you know, fucking enlightenment from this movie or anything, but I did appreciate the fact that, you know, it is a starting role for Jack Nicholson's soon to be what he does in movies, a very charismatic asshole when he wants to be, but a very, you know, can get his way, usually gets his way kind of thing, in movies, in the roles he plays. But yeah, other than that, I mean, the movie just kind of like, it did kind of fall short, especially with like, I guess it's just like, I guess I'm over it. I'm over seeing that already. But I know it's an older movie, and I was trying to get myself out of that. But I live in current time, so it's a little hard.
Yeah.
I usually do a good job, but it's a little hard. A little hard.
I hear you. Luke?
All right. Well, no. Obviously, he is just an asshole. But I think he's just trying to avoid responsibility or avoid being like tied up into like the kind of like the life that it was kind of not like planned out for him, but like how his family, everyone's kind of in the same thing. They're all musicians. They're all, you know.
Yeah, they're on the same similar tracks.
Right. Where he's just like, I don't want to be on the same track that everyone else is on. I want to do my own thing. And anytime I think he feels like he's about to get stuck on like a set of tracks, he needs to just divert.
Yeah. He's like U-turning or 180-ing somewhere else. I mean, that's right. That's the end of the movie.
That is exactly the end. He's like, hey, I can't get caught up. I can't like stay here and be with us.
She literally shows the patience of a fucking saint after he neglects her any kind of affection in the car, right? And then she retreats back and then, you know, calms down and patiently tells him, like, you know, pours her heart and soul to him, you know, and also says something that is true and that is probably 100% true for the rest of his life, honestly. No one would ever love you like I do, or as much as I would, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, how solid she is in her choice, and this is what she wants, regardless of all his problems. And the guy responds with getting into some random truck driver who's heading up north without a jacket and fucking hightails it out. And she has no idea. In the end credit, you see her walking out of the car looking for him. And that's how the movie ends. And it's kind of, it's a dark, it's a very negative outlook on the character. Such a negative outlook. I kept saying, like, what an asshole. I just kept saying that. That says right there that nothing will ever change him. Like, this girl that he kind of supposes from his old world, the brother's girlfriend, is that who she was from the house? Right?
Who?
The other girl he has an affair with at the family's house.
Is that like, are they married? Like, the other couple, the brother and her?
Are they married or are they together? Oh, no, I thought they were just to, like,
together. I thought they were, like, engaged or something.
Maybe. That could be true, yeah.
But something like that. It seems like he was looking for some kind of change. Like, I think he was just trying to break her down to admit to something that he wanted to hear and then fuck her. And, you know, and that kind of, like, that ending to that, whatever that was, barely affair. And because she called it, she called out on his shit immediately almost.
Yeah.
But he's still a charming, good looking guy. So, you know, she fucked up too. I don't know. It feels like he let something slip that was even bigger than Rayette for him. You know what I'm saying? Or he let it slip, or he fucked it.
Yeah.
He purposely fucked it just so he can just, like, ditch Rayette later on in a truck stop. He's, like, pre-planning himself to fail or to have people discredit him completely in order for him to leave or whatever. And it's not good. It's a fucked up portrayal of a fucked up person, really. When you think about it, it's all, you know, it's all in the intention, right? It's not like they're showing fucked up scenes or anything, except for, you know, Rayette coming out of the car looking for him. But you guys could keep the apartment in the car, I guess. That's good.
Right. Hopefully. Yeah. At least sell the car for money for the child.
Yeah. Something. Anyway, what do you guys think of the friend?
The one that gets... Yeah. Jailed because he robbed the store or something?
Yeah, like a year before that or something. Huh. Yeah.
I think... he also has a child. And he's kind of said how it kind of, like, changed him or whatever. And he was, like, really happy to be a father. And I think that Jack Nicholson's character saw that as, like, if I stay with this child, I'm kind of, like, stuck. Like, I will not be able to, leave anytime I want, you know, how he's and avoid responsibility.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, is that the whole purpose of the friend, you think?
I think so. That's what I mean, aside from being a shit friend to him.
I mean, other than, like, we get actual real proof of their first affair for him because he sleeps with her, with his girlfriend or ex or wife after he's in jail. Or remember, right?
Yeah.
And I guess they do it for a while. But because he's constantly coming home and she knows or whatever, says something that she knows and he doesn't care. I have one thing, though. I'm positive I missed this. He has a kid? When did I miss it? I don't remember this.
His friend?
No, him.
Who him?
The Jack Nicholson's character.
Well, wasn't Rayette pregnant?
Was she pregnant? Like at the end of the movie?
I thought she was.
Oh. No, I thought you mentioned that. I thought you said that they had a kid already. I'm like, where's the
no,
kid?
No.
Okay.
Elton, right? That was his friend's name?
Yes.
Elton has a kid.
Yeah, I knew that Elton had a kid. I remember that. Okay. I thought I missed the kid that he had. I'm like, what? There's a kid? I didn't. Okay. Sorry. My bad. I'm with you now. Yeah. No. But yeah, it's a pretty fucked up movie, guys. What do you think of his upbringing? Because this is the only time we get to see, you know, a bit of the past of what made him the way he is. And do you see it? I guess is my point. Do you guys see this character coming out of that house?
That's a good question. I thought he was the black sheep, so.
He does look like the black sheep, but he just wanted something different, you know? But at the same time, you don't get enough because his dad doesn't talk, so you don't know how his dad was. And then you never see a mom. So two key characters here that we don't see. We see the products. One's very timid. The other two siblings are kind of timid people in comparison to him. Like especially the sister. And then the brother is just kind of like I rather just not deal with it kind of thing. Very much so in comparison to him, and he's just like, ugh, like this is like you guys are lame, basically. He sees them almost like that.
Yeah, I guess to answer that question that I asked is I would say then no. I don't think the movie really, it just gives like a glimpse, not like a real look.
No.
Into that kind of question. What do you think, Luke? Do you feel like you gave you a solid
history? I don't know.
Or something? No?
I don't know. Like the whole thing with the father, like I think we, with him not being able to say anything or talk about it, like their past relationship, it's kind of hard to see maybe what caused the Jack Nicholson's character to be how he is. Cause I feel that is a big part of his life that we just don't know about.
I mean, we get to know they had a big falling out some years back.
But about what?
Well, I mean, no.
Probably his life direction.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think like that can be presupposed as to something like that, right? He was just being a stubborn asshole and he didn't let up. And it led to you know, silence between the family, right? And it led to further disconnection. And, you know, the man that we see in the opening working on that oil rig or whatever and playing poker on the side, right, after work hours, right, with the coworkers, that guy is, you think he's a blue collar regular Joe, but it's not though, that's not where he comes from. And I think we get a lot in the impact difference, I guess, like, you know, we get a lot in the impact difference and in the lack of pictures he's in the background, right, and stuff like that, and the way people just talk around him or kind of ignore him, you know, because they already knew him, right? They all known him for years, but yet has only known him for 2 years. Not the same. You know, but you're right. It's probably not enough. I'm not saying that, oh, you guys have the answers for him, but I was just curious as if it shaped a good enough picture for you. For me, the answer is kind of no, but it seems like you guys feel similar, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. All right, well, that's kind of all I got on the movie. Poor Rayette, really. That's where I ended up with the movie. But what do you guys... anything else to add?
No. Let's see where Jack Nicholson's career goes next.
Right. And that's a good segue to both end the show and start talking about the next marathon pick. So you have been listening to another movie podcast. Let's get to the ending spiel here, and then we'll get into our stuff later in a bit. Let's see. You can find us, like, remember, at our website at otherpodcast.com. You can also send feedback at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Now, for our own things, you can follow me on Letterboxd and on Twitter at Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Roth?
You could follow me at on Twitter at Don Raphael with underscore between the Raphael.
Yeah. Luke?
At Slothmaster Luke.
Master of Sloths. He's so lazy. So, brings us to the next pick of a marathon. Do you guys know what the next one is?
No. Why don't you tell me what the name of the movie is?
No, I thought maybe you guys knew. And that's a Seinfeld quote. Anyway, it's Chinatown. That's next one that we picked from our discussion when we started this marathon, I guess. And Chinatown's from the 70s as well. I forget what year, but that's the next movie. And that is a doozy of a movie. We're going to have a lot to talk about there. I love this movie personally. But on top of Chinatown, Raph, you're going to pick the next movies. So what are the other two we will be reviewing.
Yeah, the other two movies are going to be movies that are on VOD, nowhere specifically, no actual just like Netflix or anything like that. They're just movies that are supposed to be out in theaters, and we just didn't get to go to the theaters because they're still closed. And that's going to be Steve Carell's Irresistible and The King of Staten Island.
Yeah. All right.
I know Oscar's looking forward to both those movies.
Yes, very much so. Very much looking forward to them. 100%. No sarcasm in the undertones. So until then, guys, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
And me.
Later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. What the hell was that?